Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great first weekend of October.
How about the weather?
Weather, happy bow hunting.
Yes.
You know, deer season for bow hunters is open. And this is the week that we start four consecutive weeks of our annual Waltz Across Texas.
Best shows of the year, I think.
Without question. I mean, we're going to be talking to all eight Texas Parks and Wildlife District leaders in all eight regions of the Lone Star State. And let me tell you what, these men and their staff of men and women that are out in the field, you just can't get any better.
No, you can't.
In fact, in many respects, I don't have enough pages in the magazine, and we don't have enough airtime to really do justice to all the information and studies that they're doing and information. But what this is going to provide is the update to the forecast information that appears in the current October issue of Texas Outdoors Journal. It's on sale on newsstands. We're going to kick things off by going west of Houston, kind of the Post Oak Savannah area, with veteran district leader David Forrester, based out of LaGrange. And then we're going to make the big jump to the big country.
Yeah.
Out west, Trans-Pecos region. Uh-huh. Mike Giannis, district leader based out of Alpine, will be joining us, give us an update. Again, this is just the first of 4 weeks of these shows and updates. It's going to really give you all the information you need.
Now, what it's like right now.
Plus, we've got news. We've got our outdoor report. So, y'all stick around, and do remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit HFOTUSA.org.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet, for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge many of us don't think about. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to see one veteran with special needs one time per year. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And Harold mentioned at the top of the program what great weather we have had. And looking at the extended forecast, it looks like that's going to continue. Plus, Harold, the great thing is these fronts are moving through, like occurs usually a little bit later in the fall.
Right.
But they're coming in early, and they're serving as a buffer to block any development or any movement of any tropical weather that may develop.
And I know our producer, Audio Bob, is wondering what the Old Farmer's Almanac is.
Well, you know,
about
they've got a new issue out, and I have not gimped my way to the library yet, to the bookstore to buy it.
And when he said that, by the way, Bill is working right now, test driving his new knee.
Yes. Yes, I am. You know, once I do the rehab, swelling goes down and all, I should have for the first time in decades, two good sticks underneath me, you know, so I'm, it's good. It's all good. Anybody that's doing knee surgery or has that in the forecast, do it.
Get it done.
It's not that bad. Right. I mean, you know, you put in the time, and you deal with your own pain level. And you do the rehab, and it's great. It really is.
Well, and you get back up on it real quick, like Bob the hip, me with the hips things I've had. Once they glue you back together, and get up. It's just getting over the anesthetics.
I had surgery in the morning and afternoon. They go, go ahead.
Yeah, right.
I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
We got it.
Yeah.
We've got some news. You've got some national news, some big news,
well,
really.
Firearms, this is exciting because we've all been, you know, with the press about the bankruptcy of Remington and their whole company.
Right.
And some Indian tribe was going to buy it, and then some
Navajo,
of this and
right.
some of that and whatever. You know, well, it's finally happened, and it's all split up. So a group, and this, I don't know anything about them, Round Hill Group LLC, formed by someone, maybe they're venture capitalists, I don't know, doesn't matter. But they got Remington Arms. They got the firearms company. Vista Outdoor was the bidder, and these were all bids. They were a successful bidder for Remington Ammunition.
Right.
Sierra Bullets got Barnes Ammunition.
Okay.
Franklin Armory got Bushmaster.
Okay.
But ta-da, and this is the exciting one, Sturm Ruger got Marlin.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I hadn't heard that.
Ruger got Marlin, and the CEO of Ruger says, long live lever actions. So I'm really anxious to see what they do.
It's interesting. The Apache, I was talking to Kerry O'Day at MG Arms and the shooting editor for TOJ.
Right.
He was saying that the Apache tribe is teamed up with Ruger. The Navajo was looking at doing the same thing with Remington, but the bankruptcy judge or whoever was administering that said that they wanted to go ahead and sell it off in pieces.
Right.
All right. And so that knocked the Navajo tribe from doing it. And I heard about the ammunition side and not heard about the other components. That's interesting.
Because Ruger taking that over, and I had to research it because a buddy of mine said, you know, because Ruger's never done lever action. He said, oh, yeah, they did. Way back, they did one time a lever action 22 Magnum.
Okay.
And I went back and looked at it, and it looked like a 10/22 with a lever on the bottom of it.
Oh, really?
It was just that one time way back, that was their only venture into lever actions. But then, you know, if I was Winchester or even Henry, I'd start wondering right now what's going to happen because, you know, Ruger's got the stroke, they got the money. They've got the equipment. Going to be interesting to see what they do.
It's called competition.
Absolutely.
And you know what?
And this is America.
And we've seen it the automotive side.
Yes.
Where look at on the trucks. You know, Ford has forever.
Yep.
But then they started being pushed by Ram, and then Chevy stepped up.
Right.
You know, and quite honestly, it's pushing everybody for better, you know, and better product.
And the consumer gets the benefit. One of my finest moments, Texas Truck Rodeo, I'm standing with the CEO of GM, the CEO of Ford, and the CEO of Toyota. And we're just talking trucks.
Right.
And they all said, you know who gets the benefit of what we're doing here? The consumer.
There you go. And you know what? That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got some news coming out of Austin from Texas Parks and Wildlife. The coronavirus that shut down regional as well as headquarter offices. But they have now reopened. So a bit of normalcy, Harold, seems to be returning to our Parks and Wildlife Department.
Certainly hope.
We mentioned that this is the opener of archery season, and the expectations are high. Our buddy Alan Kane, the whitetail deer program leader for Texas Parks and Wildlife, said recent precipitation throughout Texas has resulted in a flourish of new growth on preferred native deer forage and should set the stage for a good winter weed production. That's Alan's way of being very tactful and saying the pendulum just swung in front of the over to the deer side.
Yeah.
You know, they may not come to the food plots. They may not come to the feeders, you know.
Get out there amongst them then.
There you go. And here's something else that has been updated. For years, people have been reciting that Texas has about 4 million deer. According to Texas Parks and Wildlife estimate, the state's deer population is now around 5.5 million.
Oh, sure.
So you got tags. Use them early.
Right.
You know, particularly on doe. Particularly
yeah, that's
on
the thing.
Exotic.
Get the meat right off. Don't sit there if that nice fat doe comes out and think I'm going to wink because the biggest buck I ever saw in my life is right behind her.
Yeah.
You know, get your meat.
Absolutely. And then the final thing is for those that want to use the triploid grass carp permit application, you can go online to the Parks and Wildlife website. This is those sterile grass carp that will eat any and everything that's aquatic, you know, vegetation,
right.
To try to control that. So that's something that's new. We got a big show. We mentioned that we've got David Forrester and Mike Giannis going to be joining us in a little bit. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got our best bets, outdoor report. Yep, we're going to find out if Harold's been off the road or on the road right after this.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
America's best-selling truck, 43 years running, is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks, the trucks you need, trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 43 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they build them today, and most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 43 years, Ford F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Third Coast Thermal. Launched in 2015, Third Coast Thermal is owned and operated by a Christian family that is proud of the USA and is committed to providing professional guidance to their clients to help assure their day and nighttime hunting forays are the adventures that make lasting memories. Third Coast Thermal offers a variety of traditional high-quality scopes, binoculars, and other optics. They also offer superior night vision and thermal imagery equipment, plus other hunting tools worthy of your consideration. When it comes time to investing in these hunting tools, the professionals at Third Coast Thermal will provide their analysis of products that will help assure a well-informed hunting investment is made. Third Coast Thermal carries top brands that have been vetted for your day and nighttime hunting needs. And folks, okay, we've been telling you since hunting season opened on September 1, you're going to the lease.
Correct.
You're going to maybe bow hunt. Hey, what are you going to do at night?
That's right.
I mean, that's fun.
Pigs, exotics.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, give Clifford Cheadle a call and visit with those folks because they've got an array of great products. They have satisfied customers all across the United States. They're going to give you the information you need. Plus, they're going to ship to you free.
I like it.
All right. For more information on Third Coast Thermal, visit thirdcoastthermal.com or call 832-827-4574. That's 832-827-4574. All right. How about our best bets?
Let's do it. Check in the Texas Outdoors Journal, Fishing and Hunting Times this weekend. Saturday is rated as good, while Sunday slips to fair. Monday plunges to poor. With Tuesday rebounding to fair, Wednesday climbs to a good one. Thursday, Friday, and next Sunday are a trio of our best days. Sunday, another good one. This weekend and on Monday, look for game to be active from early afternoon until the early evening hours before sunset. On Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this major feeding period occurs from mid-afternoon until the evening hours after sunset. On Friday and next Saturday and Sunday, a major time shift occurs with game beginning to actively feed from well before sunrise, continuing to feed until mid-morning. On Friday, October the 9th, the moon will enter its last quarter phase. On the coast this weekend, Saturday has a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides. This Sunday is a three tide day with two high tides and just one low. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will each have a double tide schedule. Thursday has a single low tide is the only one. Friday and next Saturday and Sunday are a trio of days with a single tide schedule of one high and one low each day.
All right, on the coast, we're going to break the coast into three regions and include Lake Calcasieu in the Upper Coast report because we mentioned fronts are moving through.
Right.
When the north wind blows, tides drop out and the marshes drain. That can be a benefit if we've got high tides or just regular tides as it pushes more shrimp into the bay. Bird activity from Calcasieu, Sabine, Galveston Bay Complex, down into East Matagorda and to some degree even Matagorda, West Matagorda. From West Matagorda on south in the mid-coast area, you got back lake areas, you got marsh areas, you got shorelines. You've got water that is just absolutely pristine. Redfish are on the move right now. Speckled trout are moving from the deeper water up toward the shallow flats. Fishing is really, really improving. Then you've got your lower coast below the land cut. Say from the JFK Causeway all the way to the tip of Texas, where, again, this is your warmest water. Redfish are on the flats. Redfish are moving up. Snook are on the move. You've got a variety of other species that are around jetties. So now's the time to really get out and enjoy some coastal fishing.
Okay, all right. Very good. Well, let's hit the lakes. We're going to East Texas, Caddo. Largemouth bass are good in shallow water near trees, stumps, grass beds, fishing plastic frogs, poppers, chuggers, skirted jigs in 3 to 5 feet. Conroe, black bass are great in natural habitats, opening up all-day parks with worms, spinners, and topwater. Fork, largemouth bass are good on slow-moving finesse worms and jigs near standing flooded timber, points, and drop-offs. Lake of the Pines, largemouth bass are good on shaky heads, football jigs, and crankbaits in 15 to 25 feet. Crappie are good on jigs and minnows and standing timber along the creek channel in 15 to 28 feet. Livingston, black bass are good fishing mainly creeks and structure, coming out to open water on worms, jigs, and crankbaits. Nackinich, largemouth bass are good in shallow water structures like creeks, vegetation, bringing a variety of topwater worms and reeled baits. Sam Rayburn, largemouth bass are good all day with the cooling water temperatures working creeks, timber, brush, and vegetation. Toledo Bend, black bass are good on the north end of the lake on topwater and wacky rigs in less than 5 feet. Cloudy days have helped move the bass shallower. Tyler, black bass are good on plastic worms, skirted football jigs, crankbaits, fishing deeper docks, timber, and vegetation edges. Limestone, largemouth bass are good on plastic worms, crankbaits, and drop shots, along ledges and creek channels and off main lake points with slow presentation. Palestine, largemouth bass are good working Texas rig worms, swim baits, and crankbaits near boat docks and riprap. Richland Chambers, largemouth bass are good on swim baits, crankbaits, jerkbaits, finesse worms, fishing near boat docks, rocky points, creek ledges, and drop-offs. Stillhouse, black bass are good on jigs, white jigs, and Texas rig soft plastic craws, working brush piles, rock bluffs, and submerged timber. Smallmouth bass are good with small plastic grubs and small crankbaits near rocky banks, ledges, and drop-offs. Tawakoni, catfish are excellent on punch bait and cut bait. Largemouth bass are good on crankbaits, cinco's, jigs, and swim baits. Texoma, striped bass and white bass are good on live bait in 25 to 35 feet and topwater baits when fish are near the surface. Whitney, black bass are good on secondary points, deeper creeks, ledges, grass lines, and weed beds on purple or black plastic worms, crankbaits, and silver spoons.
All right, heading to South Texas, out Del Rio way, we're big friendly, Amistad Reservoir. The report says the cooler temperatures have accelerated activity and made it the best time of year to fish. Black bass are good in submerged vegetation, some brush around 6 to 8 feet, and shallower structure with Carolina rig worms, crankbaits, and topwater baits. Choke Canyon Reservoir, bass are good with increased performance literally all day. Best time slot is from 10 to 4. Topwater crankbaits and worms with a 6-inch leader continue to produce on points, as well as around gravel or sand humps, creeks, and shallow submerged structure. Falcon, there's not a ton of traffic on the lake, but rain, white bass, and crappie are there to catch in bunches. The white bass are great on the rocks on crankbaits. Crappie are excellent over brush piles. Brownwood, crappie are good on minnows and jigs and brush piles and timber near a creek channel. Allen Henry continues to produce good black bass fishing with success all day long, fishing topwaters, worms, spinners, and crankbaits. The best structure, steep banks on the lake.
Hmm.
All right, Coleman, hybrid stripers are good on rattle traps and plastic shad imitators, chasing into coves from the points. And finally, OH Ivy, bass are excellent with the best strategy being around fishing topwater baits around structure. Some daytime and afternoons have been great in the timber with worms, crankbaits, and jigs.
Heading to the Hill Country, Big Lake Buchanan. Largemouth bass are good with blue or purple finesse worms, white-skirted jigs, and medium-sized crankbaits working along flats, secondary points, rock ledges, and the drop-offs. Canyon. Striper fishing is good on main lake humps, drop-offs, and river channel with live bait or retrieving swim baits through the feeding school. Smallmouth bass are good on grubs and small cranks in 9 to 15 feet along the rock ledges and steep, rocky shorelines. Medina. Black bass are good anticipating conditions with calm winds under 10 feet on submerged docks, mid-depth coves, creeks, jigs, crankbait, and light tackle has been successful. Travis, largemouth bass are excellent with crankbaits, skirted jigs, spinners near the boat docks and marinas, rock ledges, and drop-offs. Crappie are good on jigs and minnows in 15 to 25 feet near the docks, marinas, and rock ledges. Waco, largemouth bass are good on cincos, swim baits, jigs, and drop-shot plastic worms along the river channel, bridge pilings, and the drop-offs.
All right, on the hunting scene, boy, we're just...
It's catching.
We're bumping into everything. On the hunting scene, the central and south zone dove seasons continue through November 1st, and the north zone through November 12th. Opening this past October 1st, which was Thursday, and running through February 28th, the fall squirrel season in 51 East Texas counties, plus the North Zone javelina season. Opening this weekend, running through October 11, is the pronghorn antelope season, both in the Trans-Pecos, Permian Basin, and Panhandle, but it's by permit only. Also opening this weekend, we mentioned whitetail deer fall archery only, Rio Grande fall archery only, mule deer, and... mule deer in the Trans-Pecos and out in Pecos and Terrell counties. Mercy, we got a lot, Harold.
Yes.
All right, you've been on or off the road. What's going on?
On the road rapidly, but no, it's not a plug-in.
Good.
Just fun. You know, I got a lead foot. 2020 Dodge Challenger RT Scat Pack, wide body. Two-door coupe, five-passenger, though. 485 screaming horsepower, made it to a 8-speed automatic transmission. Great looking car. These things are so true to the originals that came out in the 70s. You have them side by side, you go, oh, okay, a little difference. But they've done a great job on these things. High performance suspension, launch control, the SRT configuration on the drive modes. I mean, the thing is built to run, okay? Brembo brakes, a lot of optional equipment on this. Certainly, every safety accoutrement that you can think of. 180 mile per hour speedometer, and it'll do it. These things are not regulated if it says SRT on it. The Scat Pack wide body, wider fender flares, 20 inch Devil's Rim forged aluminum wheels, really good looking. Handles really great. Adaptive damping suspension, the six piston Brembo front brakes, leather flat bottom steering wheel, so you know when you're pointed in the right direction. Performance shift indicator, the plus package. That's the Scat Pack, the logos, ventilated front seats, premium stitch dash, driver convenience group, blind spot and rear cross detection, high intensity discharge headlamps, the Harman Kardon audio group, 18 premium speakers with that good old subwoofer, torque flight, 8-speed transmission I mentioned, but steering wheel controls on this thing, remote start, launch control, that's for drag racing, and more. A lot of fun, friends. Based 38.9, this one loaded to the gills. Thank you, Chrysler. 56.3, 15 miles per gallon in the city, 24 on the highway, which is due to that transmission. You'll get less because you can't keep your foot out of it. Check it out if you want some fun. 2020 Dodge Challenger RT Scat Back Wide Body.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader from LaGrange, David Forrester, he's on his way.
Hey.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead, inevitably, to a big breakthrough.
The kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer. The ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You the patients taking part in clinical trials. You the scientists doing next level research to beat cancer. You the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven saloon tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997. We're back with Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, a partnership forged between Texas families that have been the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth while its fat content meets energy demands for maintaining body condition and milk production with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with vitamins and minerals Yittle Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer, but should not be fed to sheep or goats. The Whitetail Blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It is the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed whitetail deer and wildlife. Folks, we move into another phase of this annual cycle of whitetail deer. Started off with antler growth, then mama deer dropping, you know, fawns.
Yep.
We're about to head into the rut, and the rigor's there. This is a choice, you know, feed program. And really very, very effective. You need to really check out Fortified Cottonseed. Make it available for them year-round. For more information on Fortified Cottonseed blends, visit FortifiedCottonseed.com or give them a call at 806-839-2122. That's 806-839-2122.
And remember, pigs and raccoons don't mess with it. That's cool.
That's right. All right. Tell you what, I have one of the great things about publishing Texas Outdoors Journal is working with the professionals at Texas Parks and Wildlife, and particularly the district leaders over the years. Our buddy David Forrester from LaGrange, he has become a veteran.
Oh.
I remember when he was, you know, early years.
Right.
I don't know if that dates me or David or both of us.
Both.
But he's got a region that has been a challenge, married into a ranching family out in Colorado County, and watching what goes on in that area that's very, very popular west of Houston, that is the southern end of the Post Oak Savannah, as well as the coastal prairie and marsh areas. David, you know, you like all eight of you. Y'all have such diversity to deal with. It's amazing what takes place, the information you provide in the magazine. Now we get an update. Since we did the report in the October issue, we've had a little rain in your region, haven't we?
Well, finally, yeah. Yeah, we were awful dry in, you know, July and definitely into August, there in September started getting some rains and got some pretty good. And of course, the, you know, the last tropical depression, it dumped quite a bit of rain in the southern portion of the district.
Did it come in time to kick off the fall forb growth?
Absolutely. And, you know, things were looking pretty tough here, but with the recent rains and stuff, conditions are really good out there.
Yeah, Dave, this Herald, it's been going on for so long, my old brain doesn't remember when. Can you give us a bit of the background of that antler restriction program you guys had, and I don't know how many years ago it started, is something that worked.
Oh, man, it started back as an experimental reg back in 2000 and, I want to say 2003, 2004, mm-hmm. Went 3 years, and then it expanded into the whole district as a permanent regulation. So it's been going at least roughly 15 years.
Yeah.
People have really bought in on that, haven't they, David?
I'm sorry?
People have really bought in on that, and the results, substantiate.
They have. It's done what it was designed to do. We're getting older age bucks in the harvest now. It's not all concentrated on year and a half old bucks. And then our buck doe ratios have gotten a lot better. The one thing that we've hypothesized would happen too is it would tighten up our fawning season. We haven't done a study on that yet. We need to do a fawn chronology study on that, I think, to see if that did occur. But it's had the impact that it was designed to have, and I think for the most part people are pleased with it.
Okay, well, let me go back to the rainfall and fall forbs and other forage available for deer. The rain, the tropical rain that we got in here recently, really didn't have any impact. The mast crop was already set. What kind of acorn crop are we looking at this year?
I'm not thinking we're going to have a bumper acorn crop. We're just not seeing a whole lot. I mean, the trees are making a few acorns, but it's not going to be a bumper crop.
Okay. All right. Besides white-tailed deer, the antler growth, let's stay with that, antler and body weight, how would you overall assess what we're looking at? Average?
Yeah, I think antler development was really good this year, even though we hit that dry spot in July and August. I think, our early spring and early summer were really, really good. And so I think antler development is going to be good, and then body condition looks good. I think our fawn crop was excellent this year. I think we had a lot of cover out there, so there was high fawn survival, and so I think going into the hunting season, things look really good.
Well, good habitat benefits obviously other critters besides the deer. How's it looking for the bird populations, ground nesting birds, and so on?
Well, I think on ground nesting birds, quite frankly, when we get, I think we our counts for quail and that kind of thing were down a little bit this year, and I think when we start getting a lot of water on the ground in those southern counties, that's not the best things for those birds. But I think I think overall it was probably an average production year this year. Although it was wet in the early spring and stuff, it dried out in the summer where those birds could still bring off a clutch or two.
Your district has been known historically for some great waterfowl hunting, and while a lot of that production is well-driven or pulling from various rivers, but still there's some sheet flooding that can be dammed up for roost areas. Any reports on the waterfowl side? Are we in shape to hold the birds that should head south for us?
Well, I'm not the best waterfowl expert, but I think they've had some good success in early teal season and that kind of thing. And I think they're set up for a good waterfowl season.
Okay. All right. One final thing before we run out of time in this segment. Taking deer early. Harold and I were talking about it early, your excess deer. I know y'all always encourage that, but was there a carryover? I mean, is there a need to really reduce the deer herd or just work within the management plan on specific properties?
Well, of course, we've been, up until last year, we've been, antlerless deer by MLD permit only.
Right.
And we have a big co-op presence in these counties. A lot of people get the MLD permits through their co-ops and that kind of thing. But we did implement a four-day doe season at Thanksgiving last year, and mandatory harvest reporting, which impacts archery season as well. But we saw an additional harvest on antlerless deer last year, but it wasn't anything excessive. Our spotlight lines this year are indicating they're pretty much running the same as we have in the past, and so we implemented that 4-day doe season, adding opportunity out there and adding the ability to harvest additional antlerless deer. We're going to continue to monitor that for, you know, as we go forward to see how we're doing. But overall, I mean, the deer population isn't going through the roof in the district, but it is been on a steady, you know, slight incline for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years. So.
All right, real quick, because we got to go. Do we have the 4 days again this year?
We have the 4 days again this year and the mandatory reporting along with it.
Right.
So we can keep track of what that regulation is doing.
Outstanding. All right, David Forrester, we appreciate you joining us on Texas Outdoor News. Folks, you stick around, as when we come back, we're heading out west to the Trans-Pecos region. Mike Yanez, he's on his way.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
I'm Stephen Ebling. I'm a fifth-generation farmer. My family has farmed and run cattle on the same piece of ground for over 120 years. We raise Black Angus cattle, and then we grow cotton, wheat, cucumbers, and seed millet. You just get up and go to work, and you never finish. The nice thing about Capital Farm Credit is it's rooted in agriculture. When I call and I say, hey, I need this done, it's a matter of minutes, not a matter of days or weeks. We're doing our part, and together, we will get there.
Together, we're better. Find out why at CapitalFarmCredit.com.
The official gunsmithing service of Texas Outdoor News is MG Arms in Spring, Texas. We've used them for years because they are the best. From repairs and replacement parts to trigger jobs, stock repair, metal refinishing, including bluing, parkerizing, Teflon, and Cerakote coatings in over 100 colors and more. How about a performance boost with MG Arms custom services such as lightweight Kevlar stocks made to your specifications, rebarreling, rechambering, skeletonizing, fluting, porting, muzzle brakes, and scope mounting. And if you've ever dreamed of having a custom firearm built just for you, MG Arms is the place. They are world famous for their line of ultralight bolt-action rifles that are a joy to carry and a dream to shoot. The Taranis lineup is built on the lightest AR-type platform available. For personal defense and concealed carry is the 1911-style Wraith. Their hunting revolver, the mighty Dragon Slayer, has taken the most dangerous game on the planet. For your gunsmithing needs and your custom firearms dreams, visit MG Arms at mgarmsinc.com or call 281-821-8282.
All right, we continue our waltz across Texas, as we said, moving from the Post Oak Savannah out to the beautiful big Trans-Pecos region of West Texas and Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Mike Yanez. Mike, welcome back to Texas Outdoors News. You got so much to talk about. Let's jump in real quick and cover both mule deer and whitetail in your district. How are things shaping up as we head into the opening of bow season this weekend and on toward the general season?
Well, Bill, you know, we expect should be a pretty good year this year in terms of the demographics of the populations. We're finally past, this will be the last time I'll mention the drought of 2011, but we've got, we had good fawn crops in, 2013, 14, and 15, so that should really translate into good numbers of 5-, 6-, and 7-year-old bucks out there. So people who've managed their properties well should really see the benefits of that this hunting season.
All right.
The downside is it's been a tough year weather-wise. We had a good winter moisture, which is critical out here, and some parts of the Trans-Pecos, particularly the far western Hudspeth County, the early spring moisture was better than the rest of it. So they were set up a little better, but generally across the region, though, the late spring and summer have been really dry. So there haven't been as many groceries out there for the deer this year, but age structure wise should be good. So we're expecting it's going to probably be about an average year for bucks in terms of antler quality based on the, you know, those two factors kind of working against each other.
Gotcha. Let me ask you to clarify something, because you got a few whitetail in the eastern part of the district. Mostly it's mule deer. You mentioned the 2011 drought. That's 9 years ago. But the where whitetails versus mule deers mature, there's a slight age difference where that occurs, right?
Correct. Yeah, whitetail mature a little faster than mule deer. So, you know, generally, if you're managing for mature bucks, you know, you might be looking at a 5 or 6 year old buck, or, you know, or they're reaching their peak around six. With mule deer, it's about a year later.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike, you guys have everything practically in your area. What's going on with pronghorn? How are they doing?
Pronghorn numbers are holding steady. You know, we were at an all-time low in 2012 of about 1,700 animals estimated in our core population, and they've built back. We're now about double that number in our core population. There's more pronghorn throughout the Trans-Pegas, but they've doubled their number since then. But that's still a little below the long-term average, but they've been holding steady the last few years. And you know, it's a similar story with the deer. The range conditions have been tough this summer, the exception being the far western part of the district in Hudspeth County, where they got off to such a good start that carried them a little further in the year. In fact, we had a 70% fawn crop back in June in Hudspeth County, which is, you know, the long-term average is 30. So they were doing really well as of that point in time.
All right, let's switch over to ground nesting birds. And I tell you what, in my younger years, I certainly did some brush busting, chasing those cotton picking blue quail. What shape are they in this year?
You know, it's probably going to be an average year at best across the region, probably below average in many areas just due to the conditions and not much reproduction. Again, far western part of the district, things might be a little better, and it's not going to be a great year probably anywhere in the Trans-Pecos, but your better chances to having, you know, average to maybe slightly above average of being the western part of the district.
On the turkey, they have kind of, I don't know what I guess I would call it, regionalized. They're not widespread, but they seem to be concentrated along riparian areas is where you're going to find them because of the water. What kind of hatch did we have on Rio Grande turkey?
You know, we don't really have much data on turkeys in the Trans-Pecos. Just given the conditions, you know, I wouldn't expect that we had a good hatch this year.
Gotcha. You've got with the $48 annual hunting permit, you've got a little patch of water up there on the New Mexico border that seems to hold and attract some ducks, Red Bluff Reservoir. Isn't that what it is?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, is that in shape to attract ducks this year, or is it way low?
It's lower than it has been in the past year. Of course, you know how waterfowl hunting can be, and it can come and go with cold fronts and things like that. Certainly, there's still water in the reservoir, but it's at about 48% capacity now, which again is the lowest point it's been in the past year.
All right.
One thing about that reservoir, you know, and just maybe waterfowl hunting in West Texas in general is it's. Obviously, we're in the Chihuahuan Desert, so it's not a place for avid waterfowlers to plan a trip to necessarily. But for those in the region who are interested in waterfowl, you know, we have a few spots like Red Bluff. You can also hunt early season teal at Black Gap Wildlife Management Area. But do know that at Red Bluff, it's only the eastern part of the lake that we have leased. The western shore is developed. And the eastern part's landlocked by private land, so you do need a boat to launch on the west side and get over to the east side if you're going to hunt that area.
Yeah, Mike, in your area, because you talk about the desert, and these little animals love it when it's like that, prairie dogs?
Yes, sir. We do have prairie dogs. Some ranches have prairie dogs. Most ranchers don't care for the prairie dogs.
Yeah, I know. All that much. But they're just seriously great fun.
Right.
Yeah, there are some opportunities and some outfitters and ranchers who may, you know, usually those activities will be maybe bundled with another hunt. You know, if you come out on a pronghorn hunt or deer hunt, there may be some opportunity for some prairie dog shooting in your downtime.
All right, we've got about a minute and a half, and I want to touch on a critter that has just shown remarkable recovery, and that's our bighorn sheep. But unfortunately, earlier this year, we lost three of our colleagues in a helicopter crash, and that's Dr. Robert Dittmar, wildlife biologist Dewey Stockbridge, and Fish and Wildlife Technical biologist Brandon White. That really curtailed y'all's survey, but just remembering those guys, their families, and really the work that's been done by so many to bring the desert bighorn sheep back, just give us an assessment of where that program's going and how you all and the rest of the department are dealing with the loss of those three gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning Doc Dewey and Brandon. That was certainly tragic. And, you know, our staff, it's a tight-knit group, and they've come together as a family. Of course, it's still hard to believe sometimes, and it's going to take a while. And certainly, yeah, our thoughts and prayers are out to their immediate families. And as far as the bighorn populations go, you know, back in I think 2014 to 16, we were kind of at a probably our highest numbers of about 1,200 estimated bighorn in the region. Since then, we've tailed off a little, and especially recently in some of our core areas, the Sierra Diablos and Beach and Baylor Mountains have taken a dip. And we've had some disease events, and this may be related to those numbers. We've had some research going on, so we've documented some diseases going through the pneumonia and things, which bighorn sheep are susceptible to have been occurring out here. Although those appear, hopefully, to be at the tail end and running their course, at least in the areas where we've got some collars on animals and are studying them.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great place to wrap this up. Listen, we appreciate what you and your staff do. Our guest, Mike Yannis, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader out of Alpine. There's more of the show headed your way, so y'all stick around.
Hello, I'm Ernie Hudson. Sometimes I play a hero in the movies and on TV, but what I'm most proud of is being a hero for my four kids. I did that by beating cancer twice. And as a dad, there's nothing I wouldn't do to protect my kids from cancer. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, can cause six types of cancer. That's why every parent needs to know there's an HPV vaccine, and it can stop cancer before it starts. Girls and boys should get the vaccine at 11 or 12. And there's a catch-up option for teens and young adults. Over 40,000 new cases of HPV-related cancer will be diagnosed this year. Together, we can change those numbers. Be a hero. Call your child's doctor today and ask about the HPV vaccine. Getting tested for cancer saved my life. Getting your son or daughter vaccinated could save theirs. For more information, go to preventcancer.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports, championing gun safety, education, and training, creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
All right, for the outdoor calendar, what's coming up, Harold?
Yep, 12th annual West Bay Redfish Showdown and Fundraiser of the West End Marina Galveston. It's a two-man team tournament. For the Shriners Hospital is the benefit on that. Go to fishwestend.com.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. It is no wonder Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 43 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. Nothing is tougher than Ford's F-Series. So why don't you do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted, and the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike forage oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike forage oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike forage oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike forage oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at plotspike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Plot Spike is available at Tractor Supply.
I want to thank our guest today, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader David Forrester from LaGrange, Mike Giannis out there in big country alpine.
And we got three more weeks of this, friends, because we're covering every district in the state.
Absolutely. We're working on setting up schedules right now. So it's busy time.
I'm going to tune in. And if you go, what'd they say? Remember, go online, right? Go to TexasOutdoorNews.com. Our wonderful website, and the shows are archived there. And just, you know, click on listen to our show, and they go, oh, there it is, and you can repeat it. And you can also listen to us on Stitcher Smart Radio, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, any of those sites where you can like us. Do like us, because that helps build the audience and spread the word about hunting and fishing in the great state of Texas, okay? Remember, we are brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Be safe out there, whether you're on the water or in the field. So you can join us next week, same time, same station, for more Texas Outdoor News.